All right, we are, and hopefully you have your explanatory translation appendix. This is the final version of the two that we have handed out over the last couple of weeks. We have settled on a single column translation. This is the literal translation that we've provided for you that you can compare with any version that you have. And the notes to the side on the right of all the grammar rules and reasons why it is translated the way it is. Okay? Starting from back in chapter 5, verse 20, all the way up through where we are in chapter 6, verse 18. And what we would like to do is just continue to add to this after we're finished with our study up on the screen and in the diagrams, is just keep handing these pages out to you so to where you have the whole thing, and you can make reference to it if you're in a Bible study or if you're reading on your own, or if there are any questions, you can turn to the text and say, well, you can even put it this way. Here is their opinion about what the text says, and their opinion as to why they made their opinion about what the text says. And look at it and determine yourself whether it's according to the law or it's just somebody's whim. They want to paint everybody's house white. You know, that's... So tonight we're actually... our beginning will be on page 802, which is Romans chapter 6 at verse 18. And remember, we're in the doctrine of sanctification. I don't want, even though we're down in studying the details of the text, I don't want to get lost. You can't see the forest for the trees, but this is what has been imparted to us, the doctrine of sanctification. Sanctification happens when the Holy Spirit, the Hagios, hagiadzos us. Hagiadzo is the verb of what Hagios does. He sets us apart, because that's what holy and saint means. It means to be set apart. So that when His Holy Spirit comes into us, we are set apart and sanctified for the Lord. If you turn in this appendix to page 12, Roman numeral 12, remember that verses 1 through 14 has to do with the first of four questions, all relating to the material that comes before it. Verses 1 to 14 had to do with the person that said, well, if sin abounds, grace does much more abound at the end of chapter 5. So, I will sin so that I'll experience more of God's grace. And the more I experience God's grace because of the more I sin, is that God will be glorified for His grace upon me. So Paul basically is saying, how can that be? And I've already pointed out how important the details are. We're not just forgiven for sins. We are delivered from the sinner, who is Satan himself. There's actually a spiritual process that takes place that a person experiences when they're saved. Satan is literally, remember we're plugged in, Satan is literally removed as the dominant force overruling our lives. And the reason the Holy Spirit comes in, and people balk at this. They balk at having to receive the Holy Spirit or receive the Spirit of Christ to be saved. Why can't I just believe it with my brain that what I'm reading is the truth? Because salvation is an experience. You literally have to be saved from him, from Satan. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in, you are saved from the dominance and control of Satan, the sinner. Everybody must have that experience. If that's true, then if I make the statement, well, if where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, I'll go out and sin so that I can experience more of God's grace. That's why Paul says, how can that be? A believer, a true believer in Christ, born of the Spirit of God, who has experienced sanctification. How can that person go back and live the lifestyle of sin that they lived before they were saved? How can you? The sin principle, the source of sin himself, you have literally been delivered from, and you've been given the Holy Spirit. What do you think he's going to do? Fold his arms and say, oh, you didn't show up today. You didn't show up to church this week. That's not what he's there for. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 is very important for our understanding of sanctification. Paul says that the flesh fights against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh, so that we cannot do the things that we would. We're prevented from living a lifestyle of sin in rebellion to God because God's spirit prevents that. If he's not there to prevent it, I'm gone. It's not my doing that. I don't keep myself like Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, that we are being kept by the power of God for salvation. We can't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves saved. It's the reason why the Holy Spirit comes in. We need that anchor point. We need that presence in our spirit to keep us from being led astray. And that's what Paul says he's there for, so that we can't do the things that we would do when left on our own. God allows us to do enough of that to teach us lessons, but it's impossible for us to walk away from Christ and go out and live a life of sin with an excuse that I'll glorify God by experiencing more of his grace. How can that be? And he ends off in verse 14 by saying, because you are not under law, you are under grace. What does that mean? Under law, hupo, the preposition, means that you're under its control. If you are a law keeper, you're in trouble. Because the law says if you violate the law, it's death. Wow, I'm done already, right? I try to keep the law, I can't. Well, we're not under the law. We are under grace, not under law. So that brings up this next question coming out of that in verse 15, Roman numeral 12. It says, what therefore? Conjunction of conclusion. Shall we sin? Future tense. Should we sin? Subjunctive mood is the alternate texts. Shall we sin because we are not under, preposition expressing control, law, but, sharp contrast, under grace, preposition expressing control. So shall we sin because we're no longer under law? Hey, I'm not under the law. How many times have you heard a Christian say that, right? We're not under the law, we're under grace, so don't tell me what the Bible says. You're making it law. No, it's grace. So, shall we continue in sin? Because we're under grace and not under law. May it not happen. Strongest expression of negation. Impossible to happen. Verse 16. A question introducing instruction. Do you know that? The word that is a conjunction of content. That to whom you are presenting yourselves slaves. Presenting is a present tense, continuous action. To whom you are presenting yourselves slaves. For, preposition expressing purpose toward the goal of, obedience, putting one's hearing under an influence. Very key in the Bible to understand the word obedience. Whatever influence you're listening to, whatever influence you're under, you are a slave to it. Slaves you are. Present tense, continuous action, indicative mood, represent current factual condition. Slaves you are to whom you are obeying. Present tense expressing present continuous action. Whether of sin for death, preposition expressing purpose towards the goal of death, you're headed in that direction, or of obedience, putting one hearing under an influence, for righteousness, towards the goal, you're heading towards righteousness. So you're listening to an influence either leading you toward death or leading you toward righteousness, one or the other. Verse 17, now, conjunction expressing conclusion with continuous theme. Thanks to God, because, conjunction expressing reason. You were slaves, imperfect tense expressing continuous action in the past, of the sin. You see how important that is for that definite article? You were, continuous action in the past, slaves of the sin, definite article indicating the sin principle or source of sin identified in 1 John 3:8 as Satan, not sin in general. And you obeyed, important, aorist tense, once in the past. From out of your heart, preposition expressing location from which the obedience came. In other words, it's not because you kept a law. It's because you put your hearing under an influence from out of your heart, into which you were delivered. Aorist tense, single act in the past, passive voice, action that happened to the one who obeyed. A type of doctrine, a particular doctrine or teaching, the one of Jesus Christ, the one that Paul is preaching. Verse 18, it's the last page of the material we've given you. And after having become free, I think that's the one we have up on the board. Now, this is page 802, so you can follow along in both if you wish for this verse. Notice the connecting conjunction here, de, is connecting, coming down from the thought that we just had about you are slaves to whom you obey. But he says, but now, and from de, postpositive, coming down to edulotheta, you were made a slave. That is a verb form. And in fact, you can see it in a word 2557, duloo, to enslave somebody, to bring somebody into bondage, which comes from the word doulos, slave, which comes from the word deo, to bind. The theta eta indicates to us, shows us right off the bat that it's an aorist passive. It's a one-time act. The passive voice is that this happened to us. We didn't do it. We became, or we were enslaved. But notice how the line comes up from, this is the main verb. This line goes all the way up to line 2342, where it's eleutherothentes. And we have two terms here, which he's going to interrupt in a moment and say, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. I'm using terms free and slave. And that might be offensive to you, but I'm using those terms to indicate what's happening in the spirit realm. Notice eleutherothentes is an aorist passive participle. Aorist means that this action happened prior to the time of the leading verb. The leading verb is on line 2347. You became enslaved. After having become free, passive voice for that aorist participle, which means the action happened to us. We didn't do it. After having become free, line 2344, preposition used with the genitive case, but notice, after having become free from the sin. Definite article. Not sin in general, but the sinner. Aorist tense, which means it happened prior to me becoming a slave to God, as righteousness, as he will show us here. But what expressive language. After having become free from the sin principle, you were enslaved, again, main verb, line 2347, you became slaved to the righteousness. Now, again, notice the definite article. Not just righteousness in general. What righteousness means to be right. Right with what? The righteousness is God's righteousness. And remember that righteousness and justification, and in fact, the whole book of Romans is presented as a legal document that could be presented to a court. Some people believe that it's possible that the book of Romans was written as a legal document to present in a court setting on behalf of Paul to explain exactly what the Christian faith is all about in light of all the rumors that were going around that it's some kind of a cult and that what Paul was teaching was true. Which would explain why in Romans 13 he said, submit to government. Because Paul would be standing before Caesar, and one of the accusations against him was that that Paul is leading a Christian group that's trying to overthrow the Roman government. No, we're in submission. We're trying to overthrow it. Of course, it came down to who's Lord, and that was the tipping point. Is Caesar Lord or is Jesus Lord? Well, Jesus is Lord. Well, then you're gone. So after having become free from the sin principle, step two is you were enslaved to the righteousness. And here's where he says, I bet you just got offended. I didn't say after having become free from the sin, you are going to heaven and your sins are forgiven. All that's true. You were enslaved to righteousness. How much choice do I have to get out of that? That's what God did for me. And what he's trying the point he's trying to make is that whether you're saved or unsaved, you are a slave to something. Your whole life, you're serving something. There's some influence that's driving you. So coming, page 804, he presents a little interruption there in order to explain something because he expects a reaction to this slave-free illustration. He says, anthroponon lego. Anthroponon is an adjective that's used substantively for your For your accusative case, your direct object. Humanly speaking, humanly or in human ways, I am speaking. And then he gives, in line 2352, he gives the preposition, the basis or reason for him speaking in the human. On account of, this is why it's important to notice, remember, dia with the preposition? Dia, the preposition used with the accusative, means on account of. With the genitive, it means through. So he's presenting the basis or reason why he is speaking in the human on account of, accusative case, the weakness, tain asthenion, genitive case, showing the location in which the weakness is taking place. It's the weakness of your flesh, that is, of the flesh of you. Pointing to the fact that our flesh is weak and we get offended at various spiritual truths that are put in illustrative form. The rabbis believed that all of the Old Testament was put into a Hebraism using earthly illustrations for spiritual truths. And they said that is the reason why their fellow Jews and fellow Hebrews were offended at the law. So the Jews already used illustrations of everyday life. Jesus came, he used the illustration of the parable of the sower. I'm sure some farmer would probably get upset at some of the illustrations. But it is supposed to represent spiritual truth. So I am speaking human on account of the weakness of your flesh. From Lego, we go down on page 806 to verse 19. Hosper. Hosper is a conjunction of comparison. That means all the words associated with hosper, this is a comparative clause. Remember, whatever conjunction or pronoun opens up the clause, that's what that clause is called. Okay? This is a hos, and hosper are always used for comparisons. Hos means as or like, and per on the end of it adds emphasis. It's a particle that means as indeed. In Hebrew, it would be as, showing emphasis. As indeed, you presented. Well, let me get the gar in there, because gar is your explanatory conjunction. That's on line 2359. But it's coming down from his statement that I'm speaking in the human on account of the weakness of your flesh. For, he's now giving the explanation. But he's presenting it in illustrative form, in comparison, between two things. As indeed you presented, line 2360, Podestesete is your aorist active indicative. This is the same word that he has been using that shows and is used for the presentation of the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament in the temple, a presentation of a sacrifice. This is a single act in past time that you made. As indeed you presented the members, accusative case. So here's your verb, podestesete, and tamele humon is your direct object. Tamele is accusative case, and humon your personal pronoun. As indeed you presented the members of you, which he's making reference to your body parts. the members of your body. You presented them as slaves. Doula, we actually have a double accusative here. We have an accusative case, tamelechomon, and doula. You presented your members, and I have a correction here. If you'll notice that I think on your paper, the line goes from doula down to line 2366, okay? Well, this line, you can swiggle it out, white it out, do whatever you wish, but basically, this is the dative case, and it's coming off of the verb. Parastasita, you presented your members slaves, and to whom or for whom they presented their members, to the uncleanness and the lawlessness. You see the chi conjunction compounding these two dative cases, and both of them have the definite article. The particular uncleanness, the immorality, and the lawlessness, the life of sin, which is the breaking of the law. So wait a minute here. I didn't present my members as slaves to uncleanness and lawlessness. That's an offense. But remember our key word here, he says present, because he's going to make a point that you are a slave to whatever you are obeying. Hupokuo for obey is to put your hearing under an influence. Whatever influence you're following, you are its slave. Period. You're serving it. And when this influence that you surrender yourself to and that you're obeying, you are, because you're saying, okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with me? I mean, your mind and your body and your emotions and your time and your effort is all put into it. So he's speaking in the human, but he's pointing out a spiritual truth, which he knows is going to offend a lot of people. But he says it's the truth. In the past, you presented the members of your body, as slaves to the uncleanness and to the lawlessness. And this... there's another line coming down off of parastasite on page 806, which is continued. It is another prepositional phrase, eis tein anomion, for the purpose of lawlessness, a lifestyle. Now, you know that we have the word hina for purpose. Hina with what? Hina with the subjunctive. In order that you might, that this shows purpose, but also ace into. You notice here our chart on prepositions. N is in, ek is out, coming out from. Apo is coming away from. It's not coming out from. It's coming a directional coming away from. Pros means toward. Ace is going into. It's directional. It's a goal. It's going into a certain direction. When it's used as a prepositional phrase, it is showing the goal or the direction, which also is a purpose. That's why it's translated for, F-O-R, for the lawlessness. That's its purpose. That's its goal, okay? Now, what's important about this word, what this preposition ace, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, And I don't mind mentioning the church's name because we've had them in our groups. And we've talked about this. The Church of Christ used that as a means to try to prove that people must be water baptized in order to be saved. You can't receive Christ. You must be water baptized in order to be saved. Because it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that if you repent and believe and are baptized for the remission of sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between gar, explanatory conjunction, and ace, goal toward something. So they say, see, you must repent and you must be baptized for the remission of sins in order to receive the Holy Spirit. The problem is, it's not gar, but ace. Ace has no time frame. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, yes, it is. You repent for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. But ace is not a time frame like you have to be baptized for your sins. It doesn't say when you were forgiven for your sins in that whole lineup. There's no time frame there. And so when we understand ace, also expresses purpose, but it shows the purpose of goal. It's the direction which someone is heading in. And when someone is living a lawless life in rebellion to Christ, they are living under an influence that is driving them in a certain direction. And that direction is the goal of lawlessness in the sight of God. Equivalent to anybody in our neighborhood or neighborhoods that would purposely set out to break all the laws. No law is ever going to tell me I can't do what I want to do. That person, once they're caught, we call them criminals. God calls them sinners. Because that's what we do. We break God's law. A person can be a good citizen, keeping all of the civil and civilian and social laws, but be a criminal in God's court, because they won't live by God's law. So the whole direction we presented time in the past, your members, slaves to the uncleanness and to the lawlessness, for a life and a direction of lawlessness. But notice what he says on page 808. The line comes down from that presentation. See, gar is coming all the way down. Hosper makes this entire phrase, this all of these words on page 806 plus the bottom three words, or the top three words on page 808, is called a comparative clause. All of it. Because Hosper, it starts with Hosper, and it tells you it's comparative, so you work your way all the way down, and once you get to line 2372, Anomion, it stops. There's nowhere else for it to go. It just comes from Hosper. But Hosper is included in this now when the line comes up from the main verb and connects into this. As indeed, see comparison. But then he's showing From gar, it comes down to potestasita, again, another aorist tense word showing presentation as in a sacrifice. But now notice these adverbs. Noon, an adverb of time. Now you presented, not you are presenting, but see, in the past you presented yourselves as slaves. But what happened to my page? Okay. But now, and notice houtos. Houtos is an adverb of manner, in this way. We have an adverb of time. We have an adverb of manner. And when he says houtos, in this way, what's he making reference to? In what way? That's your connecting link to Hotspur. There's your comparison. You once did it this way, and in the same way you did it for lawlessness is the same way you presented yourself to God. Noon, now. And notice what it says. Ta melehumon, same setup we had up there at the comparative clause. Ta mele, being accusative case, humon, your personal pronoun of you, the members or parts of you. Again, the word slaves, doula. And again, the dative case, te dikaiosune, to the righteousness. Notice definite article. And notice again, a prepositional phrase, ace, just like up here, that was connected with the verb in the comparative clause. He says, ace hagiasmon, into the direction of sanctification. So no, you see the point that he's getting to, and we'll finish this out next week. Whichever way, there's only two. There's only two ways. You're either presenting yourself as a slave to unrighteousness, lawlessness, uncleanness, or you are a slave to God's righteousness. One or the other. There's no in between. And by becoming slaves to the righteousness, it's the righteousness that the rightness that is declared by God's court, not man's. And through Jesus Christ, I am right with God. Now, it's important because we were talking about prayer earlier and some of these other things. I cannot pray except through Jesus Christ. I cannot enter into God's courts of grace without Jesus Christ. I can't just wander in there and take out my wallet and show him my ID card. The only way that I can stand before God, the only way that I can be receptive to his grace is because Jesus Christ is in me. The only way I'm going to be acceptable to the Father is because when I stand before him, I will stand before him in Christ and Christ in me. It's the only way. So, in God's entire legal process, in his court of law, I have already been pronounced guilty. I have already have on my record that my punishment and the penalty for my sins, criminal acts against God's law, have been paid. And that I have been born of the Spirit of God, and I stand before him in Christ, and that is righteousness. That lines up with his justice system, you see. That's doing things his way, fulfilling his requirements for being considered justified, not guilty. So next week we'll get into the final a study of this section where the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Very, very fascinating Greek. As he continues to try to get this point across, is that you're a slave to something, whatever influence it is. And the influence that you're under can be very religious. And you can have a very religious, upright presentation of yourself to the world, social. It still not belong to Christ. We have taken consideration that Satan's influence, as we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that even Satan's people, they make themselves apostles of Christ. They train, they discipline themselves to have the outward appearance of apostles of Christ. Satan's very religious. Satan preaches and teaches from the Bible. He's got his church. He's, you know, the whole thing. So we're not talking about an influence that is counter to Christ, an influence that basically is in constant rebellion and protest against God. His influence is not just corrupt morally, outwardly in society, but that Satan's influence is also religious. And a person can be enslaved to that religious influence and not be saved. We have to keep that in mind. Okay, let's close with prayer. Lord, thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would take this information and help us to sort out and look up and research and come to know the truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.